Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
May you forgive the iniquity of your sin.
Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you with your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please take the insert for the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany. We chant the introit.
Sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me.
Because I am sharing your
church continually in the true faith, that relying in the hope of your heavenly grace, we may ever be defended by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Sunday after the Epiphany is from Isaiah chapter 40. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing, and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when he blows on them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see, who created these? He who brings out their hosts by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right hand is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Chant Psalm 147 in the front of our hymnals responsibly by whole verse. through verse 11.
Discipline my body and keep it under control,
lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand and sing the Alleluia and verse.
Preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Immediately, Jesus left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. The whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases, and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place. There he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him, and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go to the next towns, that I may preach there also. For this is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues, and casting out demons. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
The Nicene Creed, page 191.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose from the dead, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again in glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn 398. You may be seated.
Hail to the Lord, son of my time.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's world is filled with all kinds of self-help material. It promises us that if we follow 5 easy steps, we can lose weight, find the perfect love, stop sinning, or become the kind of person that everyone wants to date or be friends with. We are also bombarded with all kinds of advice and scientific discoveries that seek to promise us immortality and the ability to transcend our human limitations, a concept that is sometimes called transhumanism. We are told that we can overcome all crime and vice with the right policies and socioeconomic standards. These cultural ideas are founded on one fundamental principle. Humanity can be fixed by hard work, education, and willpower. And yet, we are always forced to deal with the problem that ultimately none of these solutions ever pan out. Our world is broken, and these attempts may alleviate some of the problems. They might limit suffering or give a longer life, but we find that people still commit sins and crimes, and that we have yet to overcome illness. As soon as we have found the cure to one disease or social problem, it seems another rears its ugly head. Our increase in medical knowledge and our work to help those around us should be praised as good gifts of God, but we also must recognize that none of these things that we do ultimately free us from the reality of sin and death. We must confront the reality that our world is broken and we cannot fix it. And this is a reality that humanity has always dealt with. So imagine the surprise of Jesus' disciples when Jesus declines the offer to stay in Capernaum and go around town and continue to heal, preach, and cast out demons there. Imagine their complete and utter shock when he tells them that he came to proclaim the gospel, not to be the next and greatest physician. Each gospel has a unique focus on the person and work of Christ. The gospel of Mark is no exception. It has an especially strong focus on Jesus' ministry, because that is why Jesus came. The miracles are important, but the message is better. And we will explore this reality in 3 parts. First, we will see that humanity experiences the brokenness of sin and illness. Then, we will reflect on how Jesus came to restore what was broken by sin, illness, and death. And finally, we will consider that Jesus came into the world to preach the gospel to all nations. First, humanity experiences the reality of brokenness, sin, and death. Our gospel text demonstrates a few realities that we are all too familiar with. Humanity deals with the reality that we live in a broken and fallen world. In Genesis 3, we read about how this came about. We read that Adam and Eve disobeyed God's command when he said that you shall not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. They rejected that command and ate from the tree of the knowledge of the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and sin, illness, and death entered the world because of their disobedience. And now there are all kinds of diseases in our world. Isaiah reminds us that even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But he also reminds us that nothing we do will free us from this condition. People may be tempted to turn to political leaders or science to finally liberate us from this reality, but such hope is doomed to fail. Again, we think that if we instate the right leaders, promote the right legislation, and find the right scientific solutions, we can save ourselves. But Isaiah reminds us that our Lord is the one who is sovereign, and that we are not eternal. He tells us that our Lord brings princes to nothing, makes the rulers of the earth his emptiness. Ultimately, all of our attempts and hope in these political and scientific solutions, our trust in our intellect and strength, all account for nothing. Without Christ, all humanity is bound by the brokenness in this world. That is why it is so tempting to read today's gospel while completely missing the point. We read that Jesus healed many who were ill with various diseases and drove out many demons. Now, when Mark tells us that Jesus healed many, he doesn't mean that Jesus only healed a fraction of those who were brought to him. We know from the parallel accounts in Luke and Matthew that the people brought a lot of people to Jesus, and that Jesus healed every individual that was brought to him. And so when Mark says that Jesus healed many, he wants to emphasize that the group that was brought to him was a large group. There were lots of people with various diseases and that were possessed by demons. Mark is telling us that Jesus liberated all of them. Imagine the scene for a moment. The whole town was there, trudging up the driveway and trampling down flowers. People were carrying friends and family members on mats or on their shoulders. Demon-possessed people were spitting and swearing and foaming at the mouth. There were even people there with horrible, disfiguring, infectious diseases. It looked like a trauma center. It looks like the domain of the devil, that is hell. And Jesus healed them. He cured their bronchitis and influenza and leprosy. He cast out demons and worked late into the night. Now, let us reflect on how Jesus came to restore what was broken by sin, illness, and death. Remember, people brought the sick and demon-possessed to Jesus so that he could heal them. And he doesn't walk away from their griefs. He doesn't act like he is too good to help them. Jesus became incarnate to confront and respond to our needs. As Christians, we confess the mystery of the Incarnation. We confess this in the Apostles, Nicene, and Athanasian Creed. Because the Christian faith is grounded in the central mystery of the Incarnation. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God didn't stay up on Mount Sinai reissuing successive tablets of stone. Instead, he got stuck in the mess of our reality. He was not afraid of entering our mortal race. He got stuck in the mess of our mortality and our lot. Jesus is not afraid. He is not too proud to live among us. And we can see that clearly in today's gospel text. We are told that Jesus went to Peter's house. Now remember, Peter was a fisherman. And so the house was probably small and filled with all of the work and utensils that they would use for fishing. The nets, the lines, the rods and poles, the hooks. And it probably had the smell of fish. But Jesus willingly entered those quarters. The King of all the universe humbled himself, entered the house, and healed Peter's mother-in-law, showing us that he trampled pride underfoot. He did not hesitate to enter Peter's house. And we see a similar sentiment in St. Paul. In St. Paul's epistles, he talks about how we should imitate him as he imitates Christ. And in today's lesson, he says that he became weak to the weak, that he might win the weak. He says, I have become all things to all people, that I might save some. And that is what Jesus did. Jesus could have stayed up in heaven, or he could have stayed on the mountain reissuing successive tablets of stone, but none of that would have ultimately helped us. He could have gone throughout the world or stayed in Capernaum and continued to heal people and cast out demons. But again, that would not have ultimately solved our problem. Jesus came to restore his creation, not just to apply a bandage over the malignant tumor of sin. Jesus came to liberate us from the power of the devil. As the epistle to the Hebrews tells us, humanity was bound in slavery and fear of death. But that is why Jesus came. The epistle to the Hebrews goes on to say, "Since therefore children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil." That is what we see reflected in Jesus' ministry as he went throughout the regions of Capernaum and Galilee, casting out demons and healing many who were sick. His miracles pointed people to his divinity, because the important reason that he came was to proclaim the gospel. He came to heal those who were sick with a cancer of sin. Our Lord liberated those bound by the power of the devil and his demons through his death on the cross. Finally, let us reflect on the reality that Jesus came to preach the gospel to all nations. You see, that is why Jesus entered his creation. And that is why he does the shocking thing of rejecting the offer to stay in Capernaum and continue working miracles there. And yet, there are all kinds of churches in our world today that promise that kind of Jesus. They claim that if we have the right amount of faith, we can become wealthy beyond our wildest dreams. Our illnesses will go away, and we can find a fulfilling life now, so that we can live our best life now. But all of those confessions miss the point of this text and texts like these. They miss the reason that Jesus came. Jesus says, "Let us go to the next town, that I may preach there. For this is why I came out." Jesus came to proclaim the victory that he wins by his death on the cross. That is why he entered his creation. Remember, Adam and Eve brought sin, illness, and death into the world by eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And humanity could not free itself from this condition. But Jesus overcomes that power by his death on the cross. Which is why the ancient prayer that we pray during Lent refers to Jesus as the one who on the tree of the cross gave salvation to all mankind, that where death arose, their life also might rise again. And that he who by a tree once overcame might likewise by a tree be overcome. That is the message that Jesus came to proclaim, that he came to restore his creation through his incarnation, death, and resurrection from the dead, for he trampled sin, death, and the devil underfoot. That is why Jesus came, so that he could proclaim his victory to all nations, to both Jew and Gentile. And now, our Lord sends his church to proclaim this message of restoration, not the temporary relief that governments and scientists can create, but the true and everlasting restoration proclaimed by the incarnation of our Lord. St. Paul testifies to this reality in our epistle lesson from today, from 1 Corinthians 9. He says, "I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings." That is why it is such a beautiful thing when pastors proclaim the message of the gospel, and when we share our hope in our lives and in our words with our friends and family, so that they may share with us in the blessings of the gospel, so that they may share in the blessings of our Lord's kingdom, the new heaven and the new earth, when the dwelling place of God will be with men. We look forward to the day when there will be no more illness, death, or pain, and when our Lord will wipe away tears from all faces. Because as we read in our Old Testament lesson, Our Lord gives strength, gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Our strength is renewed, and our Lord's creation is restored through the preaching of the gospel. We may or may not find physical healing in this life. If we do, we can praise God for his grace and for the advances in medicine that he has blessed us with. But if we don't, we can thank God and trust that all things will be made new. However, there is another angle to our gospel lesson today. We read that the people moved from the synagogue to Peter's house. They were seeking Jesus and his restoring work. And that is what we experience when we come to the church. Our sacramental faith and worship are born of the incarnational mystery. We are embodied and creaturely, and we respond to the embodied and creaturely. The singing of hymns, listening to the word of God together, receiving the body and blood of Christ, all this and more is the stuff of our worship. Because you see, we look forward to the day when all things will be made new. But our Lord also brings this restoration to us now. We don't just have to wait for the future. Our Lord brings new life to us in his church, in his word and sacraments, and in the fellowship of our fellow Christians. He comes to us in our congregation, just like he entered under the roof of St. Peter's house. He comes to us through his word and sacraments and raises us to new life in holy baptism. Our Lord continues his work of restoring his creation and casting out the devil and our old sinful nature through holy baptism, because baptism is our exorcism. He continues to come to us and give us the medicine of immortality at the altar, where he heals us and gives us life through his body and blood, which he gave for us on the cross. And so now we can enter each new day with a sure and certain hope that the evil, sin, and death all around us will not have the final word. We know that Jesus came into the world to give us life and to restore his broken and beloved creation through his death and resurrection. We can go into each new day with the confidence and blessed assurance that he has given us new and unending life. We know that no matter what happens, whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's, and we will be with him in his kingdom, because he has restored his creation through his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, where he trampled sin, death, and the devil underfoot. Jesus came into the world to proclaim our victory in him. And so, let us praise Jesus, the one who entered the world, to proclaim our victory. Amen. Now, may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus, unto life everlasting. Amen.
We stand to sing the offertory, page 192. Please stand. Sheet it in the pew and put it in a basket in the narthex as you leave, and place your offerings at the door. You may be seated for the voluntary. Church, we stand to pray. Let's pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. O God, through the grace of your Holy Spirit, pour the gifts of love into the hearts of your faithful people, that hearing your word, we, your servants, may have health in mind and body, love you with our whole heart, and with our whole strength, perform those things that are pleasing to you. Through Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, great physician of soul and body, we ask that you bring this pandemic to an end and bless all medical personnel, nurses, and doctors as they search for a cure and grant healing and strength to all those who are afflicted. Deal compassionately with all of your servants for whom we pray. Carlene German, Donna Campbell, Kathy Bowler, Annette Geisler, Susie Brown, Candy Daugherty, Miranda Wente and her unborn child, and Nils Gransberg. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty and everlasting God, bless Trinity Lutheran Church and all the ministries that we do, that all those things that we do would be good and acceptable in your sight. Let your fatherly hand guide us in this new year, and by your Holy Spirit, direct us in the knowledge and obedience of your word, that we may obtain everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you have given us this good land as our heritage. Grant that in your generosity, we would constantly do your will, and bless our land with honorable industry, truthful education, and an honorable way of life. Grant, O Lord, that you be with all those who are newly elected to serve you faithfully, that we may be a people united and blessing to other nations of the earth. To that end, support those who defend our liberties, Courtney Tate, Alex Laffin, Emily Shelton, Charles Gaither, Mike Gobble, Ricardo Batanga, Kevin Stevenson, and Danny Green. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In holy baptism, O Lord, give us a steadfast faith in Jesus Christ and a sincere and cheerful hope in your mercy, that we may love one another as you have loved us. This week, pour out your blessings upon Jana Lee Pacheco, Chloe Barefoot, Emily Cook, Jean Borster, and Haley Haxton. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, grant your mercy and grace to your people in their many and various callings. Bless the work of Lutheran Hour Ministries on the internet, radio, and television, as they proclaim the gospel to all the nations and bring the nations to the church. Bless Pastor Joe Asher and his wife, Dr. Jenny Asher, the deaconess, who serve the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Germany. Be with the pastor and his wife as they serve the military personnel on the military bases, bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Germany. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Page 194. The Lord be with you. Salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what hath been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Thank you.
Timidus, page 199. We stand to sing.
Countenance upon you and give you peace.